morning. Glad you're here tonight. So glad to have Scott here to speak, and Brandon. We'll hear from them in a few minutes. And I'd like for us to begin our worship tonight. Get your course book out, and we're going to sing some choruses. Would you do that? Let's start with number one, Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Chorus number one. Verse 7 across the page, He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted, O God, would you stand as we sing 56. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. 19.
In our praises.
God, you are magnificent and mighty, and tonight we praise you. We lift up our praises in song. You are a great and a mighty God. You are awesome. You are to be exalted. You are to be lifted up and praised. And tonight I thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be together, to seek your spirit. I thank you tonight for who you are. I thank you tonight for being close to us and speaking to our hearts, and tonight for the privilege and opportunity to come together and worship you. I pray that we would not take this night for granted, God, but we would hold you in that place and know that you want to speak to our hearts, God. We thank you today for Scott and Brandon. Thank you, God, for your work in their lives, for their families. Lord God, that each one of us, you call us and you give us, Lord, your spirit and your direction. And I pray for Scott and Brandon as they continue to look to fulfill that, that you would open the doors and lead them in the paths that you want them to go. I thank you for their faith. I thank you, God, for their desire to fulfill that will. Pray you would bless them, bless Scott tonight as he preaches. And God, may our hearts hear what your spirit wants to, Father, I pray. Thank you tonight for who you are and the privilege to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to ask tonight First Scott to come and just share a little bit about himself. A lot of you know him, but just a little bit personal. And then ask Brandon to come and do the same. And then I think we'll receive an offering, and then we'll turn it over to Scott as he preaches the word tonight.
How we doing?
Good.
I see a lot of familiar faces. As the pastor said, my name's Scott Erb. Most of you know me from when I was probably about this tall. Born and raised pretty much in this church, right? I got to run around, do a lot of fun things here, like be in the Christmas programs, Sunday school stuff, summer Bible camps and all that stuff. Got to experience a lot of stuff here with you people here, and really just want to say thank you, because many of you know part of my story growing up was with my family and everything that happened there with my parents' divorce and everything. Really tough time, and this church family really helped out in so many ways, so many more ways than you guys probably understand. Yeah, you guys provided for us when we needed, but all those other times, those that were Sunday school teachers, helped with music and stuff like that, that was very needed and was used for later on in life for me as well. So I thank you so much for that, a long time after the fact, but very much so grateful for all of that. So born and raised here, like I said, we had a family situation. Left here, we ended up going to Crossroads at that point in time in life, late in high school, senior high. Really didn't care much about being in church because of what happened with my family. You know, I was really upset with God and what I thought allowed happen in my family. So I really didn't want to be a part of church. My mom made me go anyway because she's an awesome mother that she is. And ended up going to college. Really didn't have a call to ministry at that point. Actually wanted to get into what they call turf grass, you know, taking care of golf courses and athletic surfaces and stuff like that. While I was there for 2 years, kind of felt this call back to God, right? And kind of along with that came ministry. Ended up wrecking dreams. God does that sometimes, as we know, as we live in life. Wrecking some dreams, telling me to transfer and go to Geneva College and do biblical studies. I'm going to get you ready for something else in life. Really wasn't sure what that was at the time. Thought it was evangelism speaking, wasn't sure. But I went there and was obedient to God and followed what he had for me there. So finished college, got out of college, went actually back to mowing grass because really wasn't sure where God had me at that point in time. And he's kind of been keeping me waiting. In the meantime, I found my beautiful wife who's with me tonight, and we have two kids. So you see me running around with a little guy in here with kids stuff to teenagers to now having two kids of my own. And all grown up, never thought that would happen, right? Never thought me running around here with all this energy would have two kids of my own. And now God is calling me to outreach ministry, just still at Crossroads and been put into a spot part-time volunteer to be an outreach director. So basically getting in the community, reaching out to people that are in need, that don't have any hope, and kind of getting the church rallied around to get in the community. And that kind of is what God calls us to, and we'll be talking a little bit about that next week. That'll tie into what I'm talking about. So here I am, 15 years later. It's crazy how God works, and this is where I am, and this is where God has me, and kind of waiting to see what he has planned for me in life as well. So it's good to see you all again. I hope to talk to some of you afterwards and fellowship and say hello. So, Brandon, I believe you're up. Yep.
So as Scott said, my name is Brandon. I did not spend as much time here growing up, but during my youth years, I did come here, hang out with Scott, and that's where I really got to know Scott, specifically his older brother, Brent. Like, Scott was even still kind of too young for me to hang out with him. He wasn't cool enough. He wasn't old enough, right? So I got to hang out and get to know his brother, Brent. But my wife and I, Ashley, we would come here on Sunday evenings and hang out with the youth group and got to know a lot of you through that way. If you don't know, I married Scott and Crystal's daughter. So I'm so thankful you can still pray for me because I married Scott's daughter. But together we have three beautiful boys here. We have Matthias, Malachi, and Midian. That was also a mistake. Calling them for supper is a difficult chore. Like, you just can't get their names straight. But, you know, very much, Scott and I share much of the same story where we're kind of doing this call to ministry much later than a lot of other people kind of hit the road running. I felt the call to ministry probably around my junior year in high school. I went to Meadowbrook, and tradition goes at Meadowbrook, you go on a mission trip with your class, and we went to the Dominican Republic. And during that call, during that time, that week, I really felt a validation that I was supposed to be in ministry somewhere, somehow, not sure how that was. And so I thought I kind of figured that out when my wife, at the time, girlfriend, went to Houghton College, and I was like, that's a good Wesleyan Christian school, and I'll go there for ministry, until I got there. And then they had this other thing called intramural sports. And so like my grades plummeted, and they said, here's a letter saying, please don't come back. And so I was like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be in ministry. But I think what I learned from that, I was trying to do a lot of things my way. Like, I was called into the ministry, but I wanted to do it my way. Like, this is where my girlfriend's at, so that's where I need to be. And there was this long journey that's kind of led me here. We lived in North Carolina for 5 years so she could teach, because in hindsight, that's exactly where God wanted us to be. It fulfilled parts in our lives that we wouldn't have been able to do here. But when we moved back, kind of found my way back over here to Scott, went visited Crossroads a few times, and so we started hanging out. And Scott and I would say Scott's my boy, right? We do a lot together. We uphold each other in ministry together. We've done a lot of street evangelism. That's kind of where I think both of our hearts are at. We love just getting on the street, getting to know people where they are, and sharing the love of Jesus with them. But through this process, we received a new pastor, I don't know now, a year and a half. Steve Vaughn, 2 years maybe even. Steve Vaughn's our pastor now, and he kind of, I don't want to say he sought me out, but it was literally just a small conversation where he said, hey, are you interested in the ministry at all? And I was like, well, that's a funny thing, because I felt called to the ministry for a very long time, but I'm 30, I'm halfway through my entire life, right? And so I'm an old man now, and so I don't know. But he said, listen, if you will just let me kind of take your hand here and lead you down the road. So he got me enrolled into Olivet Nazarene University. I'm working on my master's in pastoral leadership. He got me on track with the district. So right now I'm pursuing the district licensing process. Come May at district assembly, I should be receiving my first district license. From there, I really don't have a lot of solid answers. I work in the prison over at Allenwood, and it's a great career, But I don't know how long I'll be there or if I'll be there till I retire. I don't know. I don't know where God wants me to be, but I just know that I need to be a willing servant and that wherever he wants me to be, that's where I need to be. So I want to thank Pastor Krell for inviting me and Scott here to just get an opportunity to get back to where a formative area in our lives and just an opportunity to get in the word with you guys as brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. I do want to say, Brandon, you're a young man. If you're halfway, and that signifies halfway, I have about less than a year. Oh, they're getting younger and younger, aren't they? Yeah. Looking forward to sharing. Scott's going to preach tonight and next week, and then Brandon 2 weeks from tonight and 3 weeks from tonight. So we look forward to them sharing the word. Let me just mention Wednesday night. I talked about it this morning. We're not having a prayer meeting service because we are going to support those that are able to. Our Sister Nazarene Church, Twin Hills, with the Woodleys from Papua New Guinea, Dr. Matt and Tammy. And I do have written directions. You're going to meet here at 5:20. If anybody wants to go with us or follow us, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want a map to do that too, just want to encourage all of us to go up and be with Pastor Matt Wagner and support that church and enjoy together a zone meeting. So if you're able to be a part of that and you want to talk to me about that, we'll be sure to do that. I'd like to receive our offering tonight. Ushers, would you come and receive our Sunday night tithes and offerings? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Scott and pray that you would bless him as he speaks tonight. I pray, God, that you would guide him and lead him and Brandon as well in the calling that you've placed on their lives. God, that you would open the doors for them to go through. Lord God, may they sense your spirit and your presence in all they do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As he comes to preach.
Hello again. We're going to be probably speaking from one of my favorite passages. Spoken on this a number of times. Just the reason why it's one of my favorites is because it does apply so much to my life and what I've been through, and it has spoken to me a number of times when I have prepared to speak on it and just kind of going reading through it in devotions, and I think it applies to us today as believers as well, and it is very challenging the way I read it and to us as believers today. So if you guys want to turn to John 21, we'll be working through this this week and next week as well. And it, like I said, it's just there's a lot of good stuff, very, very challenging to us today as believers. So John chapter 21, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together." All right, so we're getting the setup of this story, right? John's telling us who's there, what's happening, right? They're at the Sea of Galilee, and if we do a little bit of research and we look back in some of the other Gospels, Jesus has directed them to go to the Sea of Galilee, and he told them he was going to meet them there. Didn't give them any reason as to why that was, but just go there, I will meet you there. So we see the place, and we see who is going to be there, right? Seven of the disciples are there. Not all of them, for whatever whatever reason, there's a couple that were not there yet, but here we have the basic of the story, right? We have the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is going to meet them there, we have who's going to be there, and of course they wanted to be there because that Jesus was their leader, they wanted to be with him, and we got the scene set for the story, right? So the disciples were together there. "I'm going out fishing," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When I read this part, this is always a very interesting part of this story to me, especially when we think about what the disciples have been through the past couple of years, right? Starting at the beginning, we see the disciples in their job, everyday job. Jesus comes around, he does a little bit of speaking or does a miracle, and these guys see a little bit of who this guy is, and Jesus comes up to them, "Hey, follow me." Being the disciples of Jesus at that time, took a lot of trust and faith to just follow this guy they knew very little about, but they did nonetheless, right? They decided to follow Jesus. Then they see this guy starting teaching. We read in scripture about how it says Jesus taught and spoke like no one ever did before, right? So they see this guy that they don't know very much about, decide to follow him, to hear him speaking and start doing miracles, right? He's doing changing water into wine. He's healing the sick. He's doing all these miracles. He's even raising people from the dead, right? They see all these things through a period of 3 years throughout Jesus' ministry. Then they see their leader being taken into, being captured, crucified, and died, right? They see him die, and then, but of course, 3 days later, they know this by now, that Jesus raised from the dead. So they see all these amazing things in Jesus' life. And after they see this, we read this story that they go back to the Sea of Galilee, and what do? They go right back to their old occupation, right? They go right back, hop into that boat, and they go fishing, right? Going back to the old way of doing things. Now, I think back as to a kid, right? When I was a kid, when something exciting happened, you wanted to tell people. Think back when you're a kid. Even as adults, when something awesome happens, we get to go on vacation. You know, we get an awesome present when we're kids, something we really, really wanted. We get it. We want to tell everybody about it, right? We get so excited. We just want to tell people. It reminds me of when I was, we were first pregnant with Jonah. we just found out. We were super excited, but we really didn't want to go out and tell everybody because a couple months before we had a very early on in the pregnancy a miscarriage. We didn't want to tell everybody, then something happened and then have to give that news again. So we didn't really go tell everybody. So I had to wait a couple weeks to tell everybody, and boy, did I want to just tell everybody. It's very exciting when you get your first being pregnant the first time, knowing that you're going to have that kid, and it's so exciting. You just wanted to tell everybody about it. But you couldn't. It was so hard. But I look at this story, and we look at the disciples and what they just saw, right? For through the 3 years with Jesus, all these awesome things that they saw Jesus do, and they just go to the Sea of Galilee and they go back fishing. They didn't tell anybody about what was going on, right? And I ask myself that question: how in the world were they able to do that? How in the world were they able to keep that all to themselves? Now, granted, understanding what they've just been through, their leader's just died, and then they see him come back to life, and he's been appearing to them, coming back and forth. So they're processing a lot of things. And of course, Jesus did not give them the Great Commission yet at this point. He did not command them to go out, tell the world about what he's done and what they're supposed to be doing. So I guess you could say they have a little bit of an excuse as to why they're not going out. And my point's not to see them and what they did wrong or if they did anything wrong. Their hearts know what they were doing, and God knows their hearts. But I look at us today and how we relate to this, right? We go to church, or we grow up in church, or we go to an event, we hear about who Jesus is. We come to know him. We might say a little prayer and maybe think in our heads we're going to change this or that, right? And we go on our merry way. And we might actually change a little bit. We change the way we think. We change what we do by the things we watch. We change the way we speak. We stop drinking, smoking, or doing whatever it is that we did, what we thought was bad before, and change a little bit, right? But we don't do what God has called us to do by going and making disciples, because we have that, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit next week, right? We don't have that excuse. And some of us may be thinking, well, we didn't experience Jesus like the disciples did, right? They got to experience these things firsthand. They got to watch somebody raised from the dead, right? But don't we experience that as well when we experience God? When we come to know him, we come to experience, we have that experience with God. Now, I'm not saying these changes aren't necessary when it comes to changing the way we think and doing taking the bad out of our lives, right? Because we need to be doing that. That sin separates us from God. And when we do that, we are not close to God. We need to be doing that. But what we do is what we're called to do. We ignore it, right? What we do is what the disciples did. They go to the Sea of Galilee and they just get back into that boat and they start fishing, going back to their old occupations. Their passions didn't change, or it didn't seem like their passions changed. And same in our lives. You know, we experience God, we want to change. We get a little bit on fire for God, but our passions don't change. And some of us might be struggling with, this is what I struggled with for a long time after college. You know, I felt the call to ministry, felt like I kind of just jumped back into the boat, and you know, I struggled with, why is my passion not changed? And I struggled with this question for quite a bit of time. And I asked myself, why does this happen when we experience God or choose to believe? Why do we go right back to the old way of living, going back to our old occupations? And I struggled with this for some time. And my Brandon and a couple other guys from our church and other churches, we decided to, you know, start hitting the streets, like he said, go out into the streets telling people where there's people in drugs, alcohol, no hope whatsoever, and talking to them. And I still struggled with this question, why is my passion not changed? And I kept thinking to myself, could it be that we believe in God, but we don't believe in God? Confusing, right? Could it really be that we believe in God, but we don't believe in God? That makes no sense, you say. Obviously, it seems like it doesn't make sense. But let's look at this a little bit more, right? First of all, we need to see, it takes a belief to be saved, right? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the truest thing that there is. Don't get me wrong. We need to believe, right? But we need to understand what Jesus meant to believe. And I think we need to take an example in James chapter 2 as well, right? We need to understand what that belief looks like. If we turn to James, we see James talking to a group of people. They're fighting over this works without faith, faith without works thing, trying to be like, all right, I can have faith, but I don't need to have any works along with it, right? I can just sit and do nothing. And there's other people saying, hey, I got works that are saving me. I don't need faith, right? And James is kind of talking on this and kind of trying to defeat this purpose. And in James 2:19, he says, "You believe that there is one God. Good." I like to think congratulations here, because I sense kind of some sarcasm when he says this. So he says, "You believe that there is a God. Congratulations. Even the demons believe that there is a God. They shudder." Right? So we see this belief here. It may seem contradicting. The Bible's contradicting himself, right? Because Jesus just said in John, hey, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. And we see here the demons, they believe, but obviously, since they're demons, they are not saved. So what is it talking about? We see it as a head knowledge, right? The demons have to believe that there is a God, right? They have to believe in God from a head knowledge to the point to why, that's why they're doing what they're doing. So they believe in a head knowledge and they shudder. Now, if we look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, we kind of see Paul seeing what it means that to really believe, right? What does it take to believe like Jesus was talking about? If we look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul's talking to Gentiles here, Jews and Gentiles, trying to let them know like, hey, both Jew and Gentile, this is for you. And he's trying to get them to understand it and what it means to believe and how to be saved. So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess with your faith, and profess your faith and are saved." So we see it's a belief of the heart, right? We believe in our heart with everything that we know in our body that God sent his son to die and raise 3 days later, right? So it's not just a head knowledge, it is a heart knowledge, right? So why have our passions not changed today? Could it be that our passions have not changed because what we thought it meant to believe in God isn't what Jesus meant for us to really believe in God, right? So how can we really tell if we are where we are with God? Let's turn back to James. I know I'm jump. I like going through scripture. Going back to James where we just talked in James chapter 2, 19, right? We look at the example of the demons, right? Said, you believe in God. Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder, right? The demons only have a head knowledge of who Jesus is and they fear God, right? James tells them that we fear. Most of us today, do we truly fear God? We say we believe in our hearts. We say we have what it takes, like Paul describes, not just a head knowledge. We have a heart belief in God. And some of us, we don't even fear God. If we think about it, do we really truly fear who God is? We should have a fear of God because God on Judgment Day is the one that's going to judge us, right? We should have that reverent fear of who God is, right? Some of us, we can look at our lives and see if we are afraid or not. Are we truly afraid? You can look at your lives. We look around today in this world. A lot of people say they're Christian. I think some words up on the 80% or whatever it is now, right? A lot of people say they are a Christian, but do they really fear God? I look at my life. There was times in my life is like, man, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me in this world more so than I fear God. And I think that's true for a lot of Christians today. Right? We're more afraid of what's in our bank account or what's not in our bank account more than we really fear God taking care of us in that area. We're more afraid of God calling us to something, being uncomfortable and disobeying him than we actually do fear God. Most of us today, we're more afraid of who's going to be leading us and from a government standpoint in that White House more than we actually fear God. So do we really have that fear of who God is? Do we really see who God is and do we fear him? And that's something I struggled with a lot when I was going through this time of wanting to know, where am I supposed to be, God? And this reminds me of a story too. You know, trying to understand, hey, am I really where I need to be? This reminds me of a kid who wanted to be a garbage man when he got older. For whatever reason, he loved watching the garbage men come into his house every single week, picking up the garbage. I think it may have been because he liked trucks. My kid likes trucks, so we're going to go with that, right? So this kid loved watching the truck come up every week and those guys picking up the garbage. And his parents found out about this, so they decided to give him the chore of being a garbage man, in a sense, taking the garbage out to the curb every single week for them, right? Having that chore. Boy, was he excited. He was so excited. He went and told everybody, right? He was a kid excited. You can't keep it in. You tell everybody about it, right? He told everybody. He went on social media because that's what kids do nowadays. They like to go on social media and tell everybody about everything. They went on social media. They told everybody like, hey, garbage man right here. Went out and made t-shirt that said garbage man across it, right? Wore it, labeled himself as a garbage man, was so excited. But then it came to actually doing the chore and what did he do? He didn't take out the garbage. He either was so excited he forgot to do what he was supposed to, too tired, or he was scared because it was too dark, taken out at the end of the day, right? And he didn't take out the garbage. So did that qualify him as a garbage man? No, because he didn't take out the garbage. You can label yourself as a garbage man all you want, but if you don't take that garbage out, that does not constitute you as a garbage man. So why do we do this as Christians? Right, we get so excited, we say a prayer, we label ourselves as Christians, and God calls us to do something as believers, but we don't do it. We label ourselves as a Christian, and we do not do it. So does that make us Christian or not? Why do we say it's okay for us to be a Christian by not doing the Christian things, but as soon as you're a garbage man, you don't take out the garbage? You're not a garbage man, right? So why have our passions not changed? Could it be that we believe in God, but we don't believe in God? And that's something I continue to ask myself every single day, because I think that's it is a challenging thing, and this is something that I stand up here to challenge us to look at. So we see them hop back into that boat, right? They get back into the Sea of Galilee, and they get back into that boat and go fishing. And let's see what happens. Verse 4 says, so they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. That's interesting. These guys see Jesus' ministry. They don't do anything about it. They go back to their old way of living, going back to that old passion and the old way of doing things. And Jesus stands on the shore and they don't recognize him. Now, granted, they're about 100 yards out, so visually they probably couldn't see him, right? But we see that they're not doing what God has called them to do, or we might not be doing what God has called us to do, and we don't realize who it is. And we see examples of this throughout Scripture. King David always comes to mind when I think about this, right? So he's supposed to be out at war with his guys, fighting a battle, right? But for whatever reason, he decides to be back, stay back at the castle and do whatever it is kings do when they stay home, right? And of course, when he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, what happens? He loses sight of who God is and what he's supposed to be doing. And what he gets caught with his eyes where he's not supposed to be and ends up making a decision that ends up costing him, separates himself from God. And this applies to us too, right? We get caught up into the busyness of life. Been there, done that. Got a 2 and 1 year old. Very easy. This week was a sick week for us. We don't come to our house. You'll probably end up getting sick. But we get caught up into life to where we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing, and we lose focus of who God is, recognizing who God is. And then we get into these tough situations in life to where we need God, and we don't recognize God in these situations, and we wonder where is God in all of this? Well, we're not hopping back into that boat. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be in the Word, right? So, and we continue on here, and we see what happens, right? So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. See, we need to understand the fishing aspect here contextually, because I think this is going to help us understand some this week for us, our lives individually, and it's going to come into play next week as well. So these guys, fishermen, I don't know who all fishes. I never was a fisherman, but specifically this time in this era, they had favorable times of doing things. Most of us have certain ways of doing certain things in life, and we don't budge, right? Fishermen were that way. They had favorable times of doing things, and they had a certain way of how to fish, right? So we look here and we see, hey, they went out and fished at night. That was their time of going fishing, and it was even a favorable way of fishing off one side of the boat and not the other. But we see Jesus come to them, and he challenges that. Like, they did not have any success, and what does he say? He tells them to, A, fish in the morning, right? So they've been fishing all night long, and it's now morning. Jesus says, hey, go fishing in the morning. And then he tells him to throw the net on the other side of the boat. Do something way out of ordinary, right? Well, they oblige. These guys are very easy persuaded. So they go ahead and throw that net on the other side. And what happens? They have that success. How many of us, though, when we come back to these old passions of life, do the same exact thing, right? We want to get closer to God. We want to really feel God in our lives, but we don't change anything. We do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. And we want to get closer to God, but we don't do what God has called us to do to get closer to him. Whether it's being in the Word, whether it's time in prayer and seeking him, or trusting him in every situation in our life. Right? So we need to stop doing the old way of things. Very easy to get back into our old passions and the old way of doing things. But we need to start being obedient to what God has called us to do. And then, like we said, they had much success with this. And what happens when they do what Jesus asked of them? Verse 7, it says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, "It is the Lord." He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. See, when we do what Jesus has called us to do, being in the word, being obedient to wherever he has called us, even when it doesn't make sense, because most times it's not going to make sense, we finally recognize who God is. See, when we disobey him, that also is a sin, and that separates us from God. And we need to be doing what God has called us to do. And this very much applies to us today. Very much so. And I think this part stood out to me specifically when I was going through this, because I asked myself the question of, was I running when it came to finding out what my call of ministry is when I first got out of college? That's something I struggled with a long time. Was I just trying to be disobedient to God? He had me doing something, and you know, I'm a bold-headed guy sometimes. You can ask my wife. But I get so bold-headed, and I want to do it my way. And I think it's very easy for us as believers today to do the same thing. So where are you at right now? This is a very challenging a lesson for me specifically. And I don't say all these things to have you guys doubt where you're at, but we do need to be seeing where our hearts are in life as well. And it is very challenging. And I ask these questions because it is a very real thing. Because lately, Brandon could probably say, we've been talking, some of the other guys, about this verse in Matthew 7:21. Jesus is talking here. 7:21 is talking about true and false disciples. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That's been humbling to me lately, because we look at this. These guys are driving out demons in the name of Jesus. They're doing miracles in the name of Jesus. And we get to judgment day, and what is God saying to them? "Depart from me. I don't even know you." That's a very humbling thing, because I look at myself today. When I jump back into that boat and going back to the old way of doing things, my old occupation, am I going to be one of those ones that are stuck out on the outside looking in? Because these guys had fruit, right? They were bearing fruit for God. At least that's what it appears. And man, where is our fruit? Are we bearing fruit for Jesus? And this is going to lead into next week to what God has called us to do. And I ask you to search yourself, because this is a very, very serious thing. Because it is very easy for us to just say a prayer and go back to our old way of living, right? And I pray that we search where we are and where God has us, or where God is calling us, and are we ignoring him? Right? We need to be searching what he has for us. This may be a struggle for some of you. Some of you might be standing here, sitting here, listening, like, man, this is really hitting me. Like, I've been asking, like, where has God, why is my passion not changed? Because we should be sold out, completely all in for God, right? So I'm really quick when I speak sometimes. I don't like to be long-winded, because I like to drive a point home, and I want us to really think about this as well. Because if we look at this, I think many of us can probably read this and be like, yeah, I jumped back into that boat, or there's times where I've jumped back into that boat not doing what God has called me, because I'm guilty of that sometimes too. Very, very guilty of that sometimes, and it's very easy to see me doing that sometimes. We need to evaluate ourselves. So I encourage you, as you go throughout your week this week, or even tonight, I don't know, in fellowship, that ask yourself that question. Why have my passion not changed? Why am I continuing hopping back into that boat and continuing going fishing? Because I can stand here and tell you many stories being out in those streets, just seeing God work in ways that never knew would be working through me, because I'm not one to come up to somebody I don't know and just be like, hey, how you doing? That's not me. Maybe you guys seen a little different side when I was growing up. I don't know, but I that's not who I am. But as we go through those conversations, I see God work through me in that, right? We see God in those things, and it's completely amazing. I don't want to stand up here and be like, hey, look at me, but we see what God can do in those situations. We see God work in ways that we don't understand sometimes. So are you jumping back into that boat? I can say many of us probably have at some point in time of that life. Are we going back to the old way of doing things and just fishing the way we fished how many other times before? We just kind of going through life, because there are seasons of life where it gets cold and dreary, and or in the middle of summer, it gets the same thing over and over again, and we get bored or we get comfortable and we kind of lose that fire. So are we jumping back into that boat to go fishing and doing it the way we've always done it? And I encourage you, this week especially, ask yourself that question. Man, why have my passions not changed? Why am I so focused on things of this life? Teaching Sunday school Ecclesiastes right now, very depressing book, because everything is meaningless, right? If the grand scheme of things, really, everything is meaningless. The things of this earth are so passing and fading. So I encourage you to think about that this week, because it's something I think about on a daily basis. Man, am I jumping back into that boat when God's calling me to go tell the world? And I encourage you to do that today. I don't know if we're ending in prayer or anything, but I'll turn it back over to Pastor and I'll let him close. But I encourage you, if you do find yourself being in that same spot of jumping back into the boat, doing it the old way, I encourage you to do something tonight when you leave this place, go home, to change that. Whether it's being in the Word, being in the prayer, whatever it may be, you guys know. And I pray for you guys that God reveals that to you. So I'll give it back over to Pastor.
Scott, will you give a hand of appreciation for Scott sharing tonight? Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story from the gospel and for what you speak to Scott about and to us about, Lord, how sometimes we get back into the patterns of the way things used to be, and Lord God, instead of stretching out into what you want for us, and I pray that we'd be challenged by this truth and how these disciples went back to that pattern, but soon Jesus touched them and changed them and filled them with their Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and boy, what a difference it made. Thank you, God, that you speak to us. Thank you that there are times in our lives when you prompt us, times in our lives when you make us feel uncomfortable where we're at, God, and you're saying, get out of the boat, do something different, do something new, do something unique. I want to do something in your life. God, help us to live in full cooperation with your Spirit, God, that when you prompt us that we're able to do that. Thank you for this great scripture tonight. Thank you for your love for Peter. Thank you for Peter's leadership. God, he teaches us from his life some good, some bad of his experiences. And Lord God, we know you used Peter in a mighty way as he became a fisher of men that you called him to. We thank you for that tonight. We thank you for this scripture. Thank you for Scott. Pray you would bless him and watch over him and Tiffany. And God, give them a good week as well. Also pray tonight, our food, our fellowship, would be a good time together, that we would enjoy getting to know each other better and honor you in all that we do. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the time together. In Jesus' name, amen.